It's a bittersweet day here at Believe in Titans because with this episode, we bid farewell to the senior member of our panel. Former Titans cornerback Denard Walker is moving on to a personal venture that I'm sure he will find rewarding both for himself and hopefully for his community there in suburban Dallas. But the good news is, I guess, or the fitting news, if you will, is that we get to start this episode by talking about a cornerback. In particular, L'Jarius Sneed, the latest name headed to Tennessee this offseason. This, by virtue of a trade, of course, with the Kansas City Chiefs, Titans giving up a 2025 third-round pick. And the team's exchanging seventh round selections in this year's draft to bring a bona fide number one cornerback to the Tennessee defense. So let's get right to that with John Glennon of the Nashville Post. John, how are you?
I'm well. Hope you guys are.
Doing great. I am David Beauclair of the Nashville Banner, of course. Denard Walker, who played cornerback in this league and for the Titans specifically. Denard, how big a move is this? What does L'Jarius Sneed do for the Titans defense?
Wow. First of all, Rand Carthon. Wow. I mean, this is a huge, huge, huge addition to this defense. And you're talking about probably one of the best corners over the last few years in this league. 27 years old from Minden, Louisiana, by way of La Tech, 6'1", 192. And what was interesting, he's a two-time Super Bowl winner. But what I love about L'Jarius Sneed, David, is the fact that it seems like when the bigger the magnitude, the better he plays. He's a big gamer, and he loves that. I mean, and it was interesting in the AFC Championship game. I mean, that play that he made on Zay Flowers at the goal line, that really kind of solidifies him as one of the greats. I mean, you think about it. If Zay Flowers gets that ball in the end zone, then Baltimore could potentially go into the Super Bowl. But that play right there, I mean, that saved the day. And that's what L'Jarius brings to the table. I mean, he's a baller. I mean, that's all you can say about him. He is a baller. And now he is the highest paid cornerback in NFL history. Wow.
Yeah, we should note the Titans reportedly signing him to a 4-year, $76.4 million extension, and I think it's fair to say he's a guy who doesn't make it look pretty, but that's because he's competing so hard. You know, I mean, he's just he doesn't overwhelm guys with his athleticism and or his size or anything like that. But he, but yeah, to your point, Denard, he just goes out and battles. And Andy Reid, when asked about him this week, said, quote, "He was our lockdown guy. Every best receiver, he had the best receiver." I mean, that's there's not a lot of guys like that in the NFL. And give Rand Carthon credit. You know, we talked about it for a couple weeks leading into free agency and whatnot. You know, Titans had more salary cap space than most everybody, and sometimes you see that, and teams spend it in funny ways or don't spend it in ways that make sense. Like Rand Carthon has been willing to spend this money and in ways that I think make sense when you talk about signing a Calvin Ridley to a big free agent contract, now making this deal and getting the contract extension done. I mean, you don't want to sit on that cash, right? If you've got it, you might as well use it. And Rand Carthon has done that. And John Glennon, for not particularly a huge price, I mean, a third round draft pick, does that seem like a bargain to you?
Yes, to me, and especially it's a third round draft pick next year as well. Who knows, you might have a little bit more draft capital. You might be a little bit more comfortable giving up a third round draft pick and flipping the 2 sevenths. The Titans have 3 seventh round picks anyway, so certainly that's nothing at all. So yeah, I was certainly surprised by that. I was a little surprised that more teams weren't involved, but I guess the issue was the money, you know, that not a lot of teams had the kind of money to sign him to that deal, you know, which included $55 million guaranteed, as well. So yeah, it certainly seems like a great move by Rand Carthen. Again, if you've got the money and you've got a glaring need, as the Titans did, way to get the deal done. And you know, I think it gives the Titans, you know, over the years, that is not necessarily, you know, with the exception of Denard Walker, of course,
Of
it has
course.
not been a
That's scripted.
necessarily a position of tremendous strength for the Titans at cornerback. And they rarely, no matter, you know, the coach, the general manager, whatever, they rarely have had the kind of cornerback that is a lockdown guy, a guy that can travel on the field with the team's best receivers. And look at the guys that Lejarius Sneed faced last year, traveled with, covered for the most part. I mean, it's a pretty impressive list. Calvin Ridley, DJ Moore, Justin Jefferson, Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton, AJ Brown, Stephon Diggs twice, Tyreek Hill twice, Devontae Adams twice, Ja'Marr Chase, Zay Flowers. And in all those games, he gave up two touchdown passes, according to Pro Football Focus, a mere two touchdown passes. Quarterback rating when throwing at L'Jarius Sneed last year was 66. And again, the fleet of all-stars that he covered. Look at the two games in particular against Miami when he goes up against Tyreek Hill. When he was covering Tyreek Hill in two games, one catch for 9 yards. Pretty crazy. So that not only does it give you a guy that you move and can lock down another receiver, but I think the kind of the domino effect also is a really good situation for the Titans in that all of a sudden Chidobe Awuzie and Roger McCreary are 2 and 3 on your depth chart now, you know, one way or another, as opposed to them being 1 and 2 and hey, who's your number three? It's a massive difference. I think Awuzie and McCreary look much better slotted at 2 and 3 right now. So great move, I think, for the Titans. The only red flag, if you will, on L'Jarius Sneed, and it's actually more of a yellow flag, I guess, is that 18 penalties he was flagged for last year. That was easily the highest of any cornerback, 6 higher than anybody else in the league. So that is something that you would like to see go down a little bit next year. But I think clearly the Titans and just about every other team in the league is more than comfortable accepting that kind of penalty total when you're shutting down star receiver after star receiver and limiting opponents' offense.
Denard, you played with Samari Roll when he was at his best, his Pro Bowl All-Pro season of 2000. Did you guys just have, I don't remember, did you have sides that year, or did Samari travel with the best guy and you got the next best option? How did that work?
No, I don't know who told you that.
I know,
No.
I was asking. I don't remember how it went that year.
No, so what we would do, what we did was Jerry had what he called matchups. So what we would do is, like, let's say we played Jacksonville and they had Jimmy Smith and McKinnon Cardell. So what they would do is Samari would take like Keenan, then I would go with Jimmy. So I want to go with guys who run probably 4.3 and under. It's the same thing if we played Pittsburgh. A lot of times I would go with Plaxico and he might take Hines Ward. So that's the way we played when we did matchups, is we kind of felt like, okay, if we got a receiver like for instance, like when we played Indy in 1999, I end up drawing Marvin Harrison because of his speed. And then Samari would go to the other player. So what Jerry would do is he would find what he felt like was the best matchup. So it wasn't like, well, you go to the guy who's the star. And you know, and again, with this team right now, when you bring in Lejarius and then you got Chidobe and with Roger, man, that's an unbelievable secondary. And I got a question for you, John and David. We're talking about Lejarius Sneed, and we just talked about Roger McCreary and Owazu being 2 and 3. What about Christian Fulton? How does he fit in this whole
But
scheme?
he's a free
He's
agent. He's
gone.
gone.
Oh, he's
He's
gone?
gone. Yep.
Okay. He signed with the Chargers.
Oh, okay.
Got a 1-year deal out with the Chargers. Kind of, I think, like a prove it sort of
Oh,
situation,
I
since he
see.
was kind of coming off a tough year last year. But yeah, that's kind of the thing. They were so needy for cornerbacks after Fulton's gone and
Yeah.
Murphy Bunting's gone, and they needed solutions. Certainly, they have some solutions now.
I mean, on paper, this looks like a better trio. I mean, say McCreary was third last year behind Fulton and Murphy Bunting, and he remains third now behind Snead and Awuzie. I mean, you're talking about Roger McCreary being a year older and a year more experienced with likely two better cornerbacks on the outside there. I mean, this looks like a better trio, doesn't it? I mean, does anybody disagree with me on that?
Absolutely, far, far better trio. And again, I think that yeah, that this signing or this addition via trade puts the domino effect and puts everybody in kind of their proper place. Because I was kind of wondering, I thought it was a great deal when they bring in Awuzie, but still, I was kind of thinking, I don't know, is he your answer? Is he your number one guy? I mean, I thought it was a good deal. I thought he was an upgrade, but still. When they were kind of trumpeting him as the man, I kind of had some question marks. Well, now as a number two guy, he's a great fit. So I think this is a hugely improved secondary. And then one other thing to throw in there also, let's remember the new defensive coordinator, Denard Wilson, has a lot of props on his resume, for his work with the secondary. He worked with the Ravens last year and had the number one. Are certainly one of the top secondaries, and the Eagles the year before that had one of the top secondaries too. So all of a sudden things are looking much brighter in the secondary than they have for years.
Yeah, and it's fascinating back to the issue of what the Titans gave up. And we had talked about this trade as a possibility a few weeks ago, and I remember saying, well, you have to have assets to be able to give to Kansas City to pull this trade off. And I didn't see that the Titans had enough to make it happen, but giving up just a third round pick of essentially in 2025, it's fascinating to me how much value salary cap room has now or carries with it in the NFL, because this deal basically freed up just shy of $20 million for the Chiefs, and for a team like that, that's huge money when you're talking about you're paying Patrick Mahomes and you're paying Chris Jones and you're paying Travis Kelce, right? You've got to cut some corners. People can scratch their heads and say, what are the Chiefs doing? But this is not a new thing to the Chiefs. They've been playing this game for a couple years, and of course, Snead stepped into the number one role last year. Or 2 years ago, after they let Charvarius Ward go, and Ward has spent the last 2 years with San Francisco and has been a terrific player there, and the guy now coming into his third year is Trent McDuffie is the guy in line, first round pick in 2022. The Chiefs are looking at him. I mean, that's how things are supposed to work in the NFL. You make the difficult decision to let guys go. You think about the great 49ers teams of the 80s. They let Joe Montana go. They let Ronnie Lott go at some point. They let Jerry Rice go at some point. But they always seemingly had somebody else in line and ready to step in. And that's what the Chiefs are banking on. That's what the Titans have not been able to do with the draft the last few years. Now they've sort of reinforced themselves. And John, you brought this up. Speaking of the draft, the Titans have not hit big a lot of times at the cornerback position, particularly in recent years. You look at it, they spent a first round pick in 2017 on Adoree Jackson, who's a good player, but as a top 20 overall pick, did he develop into the player you wanted him to be? I don't know. You think about, of course, there's Caleb Farley in 2021, who still has not come close to living up to his draft slot. Pac-Man
Christian
Jones
Fulton
back
too,
in,
who we
what's that?
Christian, I was not a first round pick, but Christian Fulton.
Christian
as well, you
Fulton,
know.
right? I mean, like, there's any number of guys you can go through. You know, you can go back to Pac-Man Jones in 2005, who was certainly physically gifted enough, but had his other issues that didn't work out well. You know, there was a third round pick on Bleedy Ray Wilson in 2013, who he hung around the league for a while, but certainly made no impact in Tennessee. It's a hard position to scout, I guess. Denard, what do you think? What are there just not that many really good cornerbacks, or is it particularly hard for scouts and GMs and that type to know what will work when you get to the NFL?
You know, it's kind of a hit and miss because when you look at it, Legarius was a fourth rounder back in 2020. Then you look at players like Caleb Farley, first rounder, Christian Fulton. I know they took him second rounder, but we said he had first round talent. Roger, I think Roger is solid. He's proven to be holding his weight. It's a hard position, David, because you can go out and you can get the next best thing. And it takes a while to develop at that cornerback position. I remember when I was in Oakland back in 2004, I believe, and they had just drafted the year prior to that, Nnamdi Opsenwa. You know that name quite
I
well.
do.
And
Yeah.
then it took him about until his third year to get going. And unfortunately, you know, it just takes time, and it's being in the right system that kind of caters to what you do well. If you're not a good man-to-man cornerback, if you come out of college and say you played a lot of zone and cover two, it's going to take a while for you to get the man-to-man concept down. If you've never, like me, when I got to Tennessee, I was very fortunate in that Jeff Fisher, that was his forte, was defense. In particular, he was great at coaching secondary. And what Coach Fisher did is because, let's say, my weakest attribute was backpedaling. What he would do is what he'd give you, he's going to work with you. So it took me about 3 years to learn how to backpedal when I got to Tennessee.
Yeah, some of the best success stories for this franchise in recent memory are later round guys. When you talk about Jason McCourty, a sixth round pick in 2009, and Courtland Finnegan, a seventh round pick in 2007. You know, those were guys who really panned out in a big way. John, is it overstating it to say that Snead is already the second best cornerback of the Titans era to Denard Walker, does he
I'm not paying you to
occupy
say that.
that? I mean, where do you think Snead falls on this list right now?
I think certainly Snead has the potential to be the best Titans cornerback in franchise history. You know, he's young enough that we're going to see a lot of him, you know, here. You know, he's got a 4-year deal, and who knows what happens after that. And you know, he hasn't made a Pro Bowl yet. He hasn't been an All Pro yet. But some of those numbers that you know they brought up before kind of show the potential that he has. And you know, you look at some of these guys. You look at Samari Roll, 7 years here, 23 picks, 79 pass breakups. I think he's probably your top guy if you had to pick your Titans starting cornerback for franchise history right now. Probably he's the man. And then Finnegan and J-Mac, you know, probably two and three. You know, after that, Finnegan had 14 picks and J-Mac had 13. But you know, between those two guys, again, Courtland Finnegan had 1 year of a Pro Bowl and an All-Star. J-Mac never either of them, and Roll only had one Pro Bowl, All-Star, All-Pro year as well. I think you know Legarius Sneed is the kind of guy. Usually, it was surprising enough that he wasn't a Pro Bowl and All-Pro guy last year. But a lot of times with these guys, you have to have one great year, and then everybody starts talking about you. Then the next year and the year after that is when you start becoming an All-Pro and Pro Bowl regular. But based on the physical attributes, the mentality that you know that he reportedly has, and the numbers that he's already put up in Kansas City, I certainly think he has got the potential to be the best Titans cornerback in franchise history.
And We talk about Awuzie being added in free agency too. The Titans still have money to spend if and when they want to spend it. And I don't know what you guys are looking at in terms of the list of available free agents, but there's a lot of safeties out there still. When you're talking about a Justin Simmons, a Condre Diggs, a Julian Blackman, Jamal Adams, I mean, there's some meat on the bone at that position there. Is it foolish to think that the Titans are done with the secondary, Denard, or can they keep adding starters to the secondary this way right
Well,
now, you think?
right now, I mean, you're talking about who you got, Armani back there. You talk, and so when you're talking about some players that are out there, Quadre Diggs is pretty much emerged as one of the top safeties in the league. I know Jamal Adams, he's been injured in the past, but coming from New York, he was the talk. But it's weird that Justin Simmons to me is a he is a bona fide stud. They just paid him a lot of money just a few years
A
ago
couple
in
years ago,
Denver.
yeah.
So I don't, I'm trying to figure it out, why hasn't anyone picked up Justin Simmons? Because you're talking about a great safety. I mean, he's one of the best in the business.
Yeah, it seems like, all the talk was what are the running backs going to do this year, and the running backs all get signed up, and most of them to pretty decent deals. It's the safeties who are sitting out there, and all I can think of is 2018 when the Titans were a couple days into training camp, and Jonathan Cyprian gets hurt, and a guy like Kenny Vaccaro is sitting out there on the street, and they signed him and brought him in, and that was a move that paid off for several years. If Rand Carthen wants, he can really play the waiting game when you talk about this list of safeties who are available and get somebody on the cheap somewhere down the line here. If he doesn't want to go big right now, obviously, I guess maybe he's going to wait till after the draft. I don't know. John, is safety the most likely free agent position you still see them adding, or is there another spot you're looking at?
Certainly think the combination of need and the talent that's out there, makes it likely that safety is the position they can still try to fill there. The names you rattled off, I agree with Simmons, Julian Blackman, Diggs, even more veteran guy like a Micah Hyde is out there too, and then more Jamal Adams we mentioned too. Inside linebacker, there's not a lot out there. There's a need for the Titans, but I suspect right now, Gibbons and Kenneth Murray are your penciled in starters, but maybe that's something that you address in the draft. Tackle, there's a few, the guys that are out there, not much. I think that's much more likely they'll go in the draft. But one guy, I'm kind of curious about most of the guys at left tackle right now, I wouldn't bother with. In terms of free agency, one guy's kind of curious to me a little bit. Charles Leno, played with the Commanders for a long time. He's always put up good numbers. I want to say like PFF, for instance, 8 years in a row, he's been over 70 in terms of pass blocking. Only gave up three sacks last year in turn and over 600 pass blocking snaps. Pretty solid left tackle. The catch. Maybe two catches. A, he's 32. The bigger catch is he just had hip surgery. Anything that comes down the line with Charles Leno, it's probably going to have to happen, weeks or months from now when we get a better idea of his health. But he's a guy that if a team like the Titans is still in a bind after the draft, at that left tackle spot, maybe Charles Leno, if he comes back and proves himself ready after this hip surgery, he's a guy that's really had a lot of good years in the league.
You talk about the tackle position too. We talked about it here last week. I think that with Calvin Ridley in the fold, it makes the likelihood that they will take a tackle at number seven, assuming, of course, they stay at number seven and make that pick there. Most mock drafts you see indicate that Joe Alt out of Notre Dame would be that guy, but Jim Harbaugh, the Chargers coach, and the Chargers have the number 5 overall selection, sounded this week like a guy who heavily values the offensive line. And you think about his San Francisco 49ers team, they were loaded with first round draft picks up front there. That's kind of how they built that thing. If it's led to some speculation, I guess, that Joe Alt might not be available to the Titans at number 7, and some discussion what happens then. Denard, I know you have mentioned the name Olafishanu a few times. You'd be just as happy with that, if not happier than Joe Alt, wouldn't you be? Olafishanu is out of Penn State, we should say, a tackle out of Penn State.
This is the best player on the board right now. I'm telling you, David, interesting. 542 snaps in 2023. Do you know how many sacks he gave up with that many snaps?
I do not know.
Zero. Absolutely. And David, he is a monster. He is someone. There was a young man that was actually breaking his film down, and they said the best that he is a future franchise left tackle. You remember Jonathan Ogden? I mean, who was like
I do
6 7.
remember him, yes.
I played against Jonathan Ogden, and nobody got around Jonathan Ogden. He was so big, they just run right into his chest. Fashanu is the same way, 6'6". He's what, 320, 317 pounds. But what's interesting, look at is that when you watch him, he is a freak of an athlete. John, look how smooth, if you watch his film work, his footwork is. I mean, that's something that when tackles get to the league, they really have to place an emphasis on is guys' footwork, because so many guys get away with a lot of things in college. But when you watch him, I'm telling you, his technique is superlative. And he's and this is the This is the kicker. He's only 21 years old.
Yeah, and that's I mean that you're not getting as many of those guys, it seems like,
Nah.
lately. The youngsters that you can really watch them grow. That's another name up front is Talise Fuaga out of Oregon State. Excuse me, who's the Alabama guy? I'm trying. JC Latham out of Alabama. It seems like if Joe Alt comes off the board, there's another group there, unless they're in love with Fashanu, say, that creates the opportunity to trade back in the first round a little bit and still get one of those guys. Does that seem like a likely scenario to you, John, or do you think it would be Fashanu almost certainly if it's not Alt?
I think it would be Fashanu, but I was kind of intrigued. This week, Mike Tannenbaum of ESPN is a former NFL executive, longtime NFL exec. He did his first mock, he had kind of an interesting, to say the least. Again, he kind of followed suit with what Jim Harbaugh had been saying this week, and Jim Harbaugh was very clear, about emphasizing the offensive line. Well, maybe he's just blowing smoke, but honestly, when you think of Jim Harbaugh, you think of running games, you think of offensive linemen. So it wouldn't be a shock, even though they need wide receivers. And Jim Harbaugh said, what position group can make virtually every other position group on your team better and is not dependent really on any other position group? He said that's the offensive line. So he said, I'm kind of fired up to build an offensive line. And again, maybe this is, lying season and so forth. But I certainly think it's possible. It wouldn't be a stunner if Alt is gone at number 5. And anyway, the scenario that Tannenbaum drew up was Alt going to the Chargers and then the Titans going with J.C. Latham at number 7. Now, like we've just been talking about, certainly Fashanu has been getting more pub than J.C. Latham. It intrigued me also because Latham has played almost entirely right tackle in his college career. And do you really want to spend your number 7 pick at a right tackle? I don't know. It's not out, not unthinkable, but I don't think he's a guy that naturally moves over to the left. So I think I find that a little bit unlikely there. So maybe I do see a little bit more of a scenario where there's a potential trade back if they don't find themselves in love with Fashanu. that spot. But yeah, one more tidbit on that Tannenbaum mock draft. He had, I think, four quarterbacks going in the first four picks. And believe it or not, he had Marvin Harrison going at number nine in the first round. In other words, that means the Titans, as well as several other teams, would be passing on Marvin Harrison. I'm not sure I can see that happening at all. So if that's a reflection of the expertise, I don't know that he's putting into the into his mock draft, maybe we should rethink what he's considering there.
I mean, funny things happen in the draft, right? I mean, we've all seen that, but I will all but guarantee, as we're sitting here, if the Titans are on the clock at number seven and Marvin Harrison Jr. is sitting there, Marvin Harrison Jr. is coming to Tennessee, and whatever Titans, whatever however the Titans had their draft shaking out, they will adjust from there. That would be a remarkable scenario. I'm fascinated, and there's no way I guess we could know this or quantify this, but it's really interesting to me to think about the fact that Rand Carthen is, I mean, we all agree he's going to have to use some pick fairly high up in this draft to get more for the offensive line after using first round pick on Peter Skoronski last year. But to have Rand Carthen in that position, as opposed to John Robinson, who missed badly on Isaiah Wilson, and who it's not a complete whiff, but certainly didn't get what he was looking for in Dylan Raiden's. And you wonder how gun shy John Robinson would have been, or how spooked he would be about trying to over and over again to use these top picks on offensive linemen. This is one area where I think that change is probably really beneficial, where Rand Carthen isn't saddled with those misses. He's looking at the Titans. He says, our offensive line needs to be better. I drafted a first rounder last year. He looks really good at guard. Probably going to be our guard there on the left side for the next 10, 12 years. And now let's get him a tackle, and I think he can probably feel confident and feel good about that prospect and what he can add to that group at this point. But it certainly is fun. If the four quarterbacks go with first four picks, which would be unprecedented in NFL history, that is going to create a free for all. And then I think you're going to see a trading frenzy, whether the Titans make a deal or not. But the next five, six, seven teams in line, I think it's just going to be ripe for deals there. John, you want to say something?
Yeah, you reminded me, with Rand Carthen, picking Peter Skoronski at number 11 last year. What I was just mentioning about J.C. Latham, a right tackle, normally, well, I guess at least conventionally anyway, that's an area maybe top 10, top 12 picks, that you're looking for a left tackle in there. Maybe right tackles go a little further, but if Rand Carthen is, kind of the guy who's sort of out of the box enough to basically pick Peter Skoronski, a guard, knowing that they were going to make him a guard at number 11. Hey, maybe he's willing to take a right tackle at number seven as well.
That's a good point. As we move toward the finish here, we do have to, I think, talk about the fact that the NFL has approved a rule change for kickoffs for the 2024 season, in which the 10 guys on the coverage team, not counting the kicker, will line up on the opposite 40, and cannot move until the receiver for the other team catches the ball. It's a rule that was experimented with in the XFL. Is that right, John? Yeah, the
That's correct.
XFL
Yep.
in the spring, and it's designed to cut down on the impacts and the high speed impacts and whatnot. It's a player safety issue. You can find video clips of it on X and YouTube, wherever you would find these things. Denard, have you seen much of it? Do you think this is a worthwhile change?
Yeah, I had a chance to view it the other night. Quite interesting. In the XFL, it works. I just I mean, if you're the returner, that's kind of where I see there's a disadvantage. I mean, think about it. If you got the front line of, let's say, the kickoff return, so they're going to be stationary until the ball is caught. So am I correct?
Both teams,
So I,
there's
right.
11, there's 20 guys who are going to be
Right.
stationary until the ball is
The
caught.
kicker and the
The
punt.
kicker and the returner are the two guys who will be moving.
So if that's the case, if you're the kickoff return team, aren't you in a disadvantage? Because now when the ball is caught, then you can move. But if the defense is already moving, you got to get to a spot, right? Do you go backwards? I mean, how does
Well,
that
no, the defense is not moving. They're standing at your 40-yard line. They
Everybody
have to wait
stops
too.
until, yeah.
Stops until he catches it. Till he
Yes,
catches it,
yes.
right. So they're only how far apart? Aren't they like 10 yards apart?
Correct.
Yeah.
But so if they're 10 yards apart, think about it. So once he catches it, so let's say you're already in a blocking position. If you're the defensive player, won't you have the advantage?
Certainly don't have to run as far, but I
Right, you
guess you
don't
wouldn't have that.
exactly.
Yeah, you don't have the head of steam either.
You
Yeah,
don't.
you
There you
don't.
go.
The return team, the guys, I guess, unless maybe there's one person who calls out go or something. I can't
Right.
imagine they're going to have 10 players looking back over their shoulder. I mean, that would really put you at a disadvantage.
They're gonna have to experiment with that. I would love to. I've watched it on television with the XFL a few times, and I'm just, again, I guess that's where age comes in for me. I don't know how they're gonna do that.
Yeah, it's and
Even
I'm curious,
start.
NFL kickers are really good. Some special teams
Yeah.
guys got to figure out, if we drop this ball in at the 12-yard line, our chances to get them tackled before the 20 will be there. I mean, I think there's I think it's going to be really interesting from that perspective to see what the kicking, it'll be much more interesting than just watching these guys blast it out of the end zone every time. John, are you particularly intrigued, or are you poo-pooing this rules change?
Intrigued by it. I like the fact that they're trying to make the kickoff return part of the game again. And the stats are pretty incredible in the XFL. I think each of the eight teams averaged between 3.5 and 5.5 kickoff returns per game. Compare that to the NFL, each of the teams averaged between 0.5 and like 1.5 kickoff returns per game. So a huge difference. We're going to see a lot more difference too. In where the returns end up. NFL, the last few years, the average has been almost always right around the 25 because so many kicks were either touchbacks or fair catches. But now there seems to be, like in the XFL, my understanding has been a much greater variety. Sometimes the defense or the kicking coverage unit wins the battle, you're back around the 15 or 20. Other times, you're up around the 35 or 40. So a significant difference. And I think it's going to help, put those kind of those special teams aces who were sort of getting marginalized a little bit in the last few years, kind of puts them back on the map. And all of a sudden, you have to have a pretty good returner and some pretty good some cover guys now too.
Well, there you have it, John Glennon, big fan, big fan. When
I like it.
we have been big fans, of course, of Denard Walker, who, as we mentioned at the top, will not return after this episode of Believe in Titans. So, Denard, we salute you. We say
Thank
thank you.
you. Thank you so much. John, you and David both are amazing. And thank you for these last 2 years. It's been a great few years with both of you.
And with
Hey, it's
that, we
been
will
great.
say.
We wish you best of luck, Denard.
Thank you.
And with that, we will say till next week. For Believe in Titans, thank you so much.